You are now listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. This is the travel show, now boarding with Dan and Jim. Dan, how are you doing?
Jimmy, I'm great. I'm all finished up with my tedious work schedule, and wait a minute. This is a recording?
Well, Dan, as you know, I just did the introduction for us, which is normally never done. It's usually you.
So what are you doing?
Well, Dan, I have made a makeshift studio here in Boat Quay, Singapore. So WGXC now has three studios, one now in the international location. And we have a very special guest today. Am I correct?
Oh, this is very special. Wow.
Due to the high status of this guest, time is of the essence. We had to take the moment to seize it, and here we are. We vowed from the very beginning that we would never ever tape a show, but we are taping this show so we could have this very special guest on. He is here live with me in Singapore, and we'll introduce him in a moment. But just to our loyal viewers, I will say this. Although we are recording this show, it is not stopping. The next 59 minutes or so will be nonstop. Anything that goes wrong will go wrong, and it will be played.
It's right now. Hear that.
Yes. You are, Dan, we are not editing this. This is all go for 59 minutes, at which point whatever happens has happened. It will be played on the air on Sunday, as normally scheduled.
Jim, this is spectacular. We have been talking all year long, since the inception, even the inception of this show, that we wanted to one day have on air none other than he who we have both been privileged to travel with.
Hold on, Dan, hold on. Dan, hold on. I'm cutting you off for a second. Before we get to it, I want to ask you, do you remember the end of last show, I made a statement. Do you remember what that – I made the statement of this show and next show. Do you remember what that statement was?
Jim, I didn't write it down. I don't know. Tell me.
I said to not only you but to also our viewers that the next show and the show after that would be the best two shows – of our 7-plus month radio career.
That's a very big statement.
Very big, Dan. Very big. But I meant everything I said. And we are starting today with our... Do you know what show number this is for us?
This is show number 15.
Oh, wow. I didn't really know. I was hoping to stump you. But okay. Our 15th show we are starting off. And this will be the best one ever. Followed up by our next one, which is just as good. But I'm going to bring it back to you, so go ahead. Who is our special guest today, Dan? We'll let you introduce him, and he is here with me in live in Singapore right now.
None other than Yassine Al-Medina. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very good introduction. I hope I can keep up doing this next hour.
Yes. So... Before we get to, we're going to ask him several questions. He is, Dan and I have traveled all over the place, but this guy that we have here, Yassine, has traveled probably more than both of us combined. And I met him through Dan back in 2 years ago in Ireland. He is Dan's old roommate, and he is worldwide. Dan, why don't you tell us what Al-Medina means?
Al-Medina Arabic for the city, and even the person who coined the term didn't even know Arabic, because it wasn't Yassine, it wasn't myself, but it was you in Dublin, Ireland, Jimmy, after you had about 3 pints of Guinness, and they're knocking on our hotel door. In comes, with complete leather jacket up to his collar popped above his ears, was Yassine himself.
Al-Medina. That's the only thing that could come out of my mouth at that time.
And you remember the leather jacket.
Exactly. There were camera crews, there was the paparazzi, there was different model agencies all flashing, coming, following him. from the ferry boat ride from England over to Dublin, and that's how much hype was. But they didn't have anything on you with that introduction saying, "You see, my man, you are Albertina."
Well,
but I think I didn't say something that I was late in coming to Dublin to meet you guys. It took me about an hour to find out the hotel you guys were staying in. So I was like wandering in the city and trying to find my way.
So are you saying you don't normally wear the leather jacket? You picked it up on your journey to our hotel?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, actually, the jacket is from Morocco. I got it from Morocco about like 10 years ago. In the Medina of Casablanca. So very cheap, good quality, and very fashionable still today. Just for the record.
So he's defending the Dan. He's defending the leather jacket. I'll stick by him on that.
Hey, I'm praising that leather jacket. I have nothing but compliments for it.
All right, so let's get right into it. Dan, ask you seen a question, just pick something. I'm sure, obviously travel. Go for it.
Sure. Yassine, you have traveled now to about 5 continents. Am I correct?
Yeah, kind of. Actually, I never got to go to Latin America. I lived in Mexico,
okay.
But I've never been under Mexico.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
This is my next target, but somehow those countries were very close to Mexico and the Mexican culture, so I just somehow put them aside and try to go and discover Africa and Asia.
So hold on a second. Hold on. I didn't realize you lived in Mexico. I just thought you visited.
Yeah, no, I lived in Mexico for like a couple of months after Siena College. Actually.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Siena.
It was kind of, when we graduated in 2008, it was a financial crisis. So I just met up with a friend in Mexico, and I ended up staying about like 2 months. So
wow.
And just
now,
like,
let me ask you one of the more basic questions for this show.
Yeah, sure.
Which is, what has inspired you with having met you, have done such extensive traveling. What was the original inspiration for you to begin traveling in the first place?
Actually, it's a very good question, but very tricky one. I think it depends on each one's personality and how open someone is towards the cultures and trying to find out like what's out there instead of staying in your nest, basically, and never get out of the city or never try to be open and meet new people, new friends, and trying to find out about the. It's kind of being curious, but also not being afraid of what's new and what's strange from your previous life. It's kind of all the discovery thing, and right from the beginning, like, I was born in France, and I was used to travel to Morocco with my parents, and so I was used somehow to travel already, but I wanted to see something new. I wanted to see, like, new cultures and just to discover new things. So the first step is kind of easy on my side to travel already in Europe because we have no borders, so it's very easy to travel from France to Germany to the UK to Spain, so you already have that variety in terms of cultures and in terms of the diversity. So it was like the first step, but then you wanna have more, like you wanna go further and move forward and see something that you've never seen before, and try to go to Asia, try to go to Africa, try to go to the US, and try to see basically things that you've seen on TV, but you wanna see with your own eyes. And I got that curiosity right from the beginning. And that's what made me travel right from the beginning. Even when I was like 14, 16, just like take my bag, go somewhere, stay for 1-2 days just for the weekend and come back on Monday for school. And that I say school now, and actually my travels were my real school, to be honest. When you go to school, university and stuff, you learn about finance, you learn about history, you learn about languages, but you don't really learn about life. And you don't really learn about like other people's life and other people's cultures and stuff. So that's what made me traveling even more often and even farther than what I was used to.
I mean,
I don't know if I'm being clear, but I'm trying. I'm start losing my English now. So please correct me if I'm.
No, you're doing.
I'm not doing well, or
you're doing a great job. I mean, can you say anything else besides Al Madinah? I mean, come on, Dan. I mean, you when we started, most of our loyal listeners will know or have heard of Al Madinah. And, you know, we started off, we talked about him. I think our first show, we discussed our Ireland trip. And, you know, now we have him right here on the air, the actual real person, Yasin.
I'm not a myth anymore.
He's not a myth. He's the man, the myth, and the legend all in one here on our show. This is great.
Singapore.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually first met in the US with Dan and then with Jimmy in Ireland, but we never got to see each other again. So, and now we met up in Singapore, and that's actually the kind of thing I like. You meet someone somewhere, but you meet that same person elsewhere, in another city in the world, and that's pretty impressive and exciting.
I have to agree with you 100%, Yasin. You know, as you just said, Yasin and Dan, they went to school together. Dan and I went over to Europe, visited. I met Yasin. Yasin and I, on a separate trip later on, we went to Madrid and Morocco. And now Yasin is here visiting me in Singapore. And, you know, if it wasn't for travel, Yasin and I wouldn't know each other. He wouldn't be – we wouldn't even have probably a radio show at this point, nor would he be a legend on our show.
And you would have never been in Singapore.
And I would never be in Singapore. I have to say, you definitely have some influence. Both of you guys, actually. If it wasn't for probably one of you, it wouldn't have happened. But if it wasn't for both of you, I definitely would not be here at this point.
Okay. Easy enough. Now, Jim, do you have a question for Yasin?
I was actually just going to tell him to give us a brief background about himself. But he kind of covered it there. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the viewers about yourself?
Actually, not really. I'm just like a simple lad coming from a Moroccan family, born in France. Nothing special, just like a normal person. I'm not rich, my family isn't wealthy, so I don't have money. So I know what you guys would say, like, oh yeah, he travels a lot because he has money, he has time, so he can easily do it. None of that. So I'm just like very ambitious and I know what I want. And if I want to get something, I do everything to get it. If I don't get it right now, I'm patient enough to wait and get it like another time. So I'm not Superman. I'm not very special. I'm just like you guys. So just to tell you that everything is possible. And if you really want to travel, like everything is possible. You have Jimmy who just like lived in Hudson. Like, I don't know. You would tell me five years ago, I would say, where's Hudson? And now he's in Singapore. And he's been to Australia before me. And actually Indonesia and Southeast Asia before me. So I was pretty impressed with that. And just to show you that basically everything is possible.
Exactly. And Dan, how many times have I said anything is possible to end our show? You know, this is a perfect example. I mean, here we are, two people who would never have met if it wasn't for travel. I mean, we're hosting a travel show here. I mean, come on.
Points on, it really is unbelievable, but that's the very source of it, traveling, connecting people that would otherwise not be connected because of traveling. You know, it's funny how we somehow meet people and, you know, it's like points on a map and we connect them, and that's extraordinary. And as is, his team is extraordinary. He's being modest with us, and he says he's just like us. That's not the case, unless we're special, which he might agree with. However, enough with that. Yassine, let me ask you a question in regards to your ethnic background and your religious background and your way of traveling. Now, being that you're Muslim Moroccan, how has that affected you traveling? Have you experienced any sort of trouble, any deterrence, or has that allowed you actually, has been positive in ways, has that allowed you to access things that, say, Jimmy and I, who are white, we might not be able to?
Dan, let me hop in quick and, Yassine, I had to turn his Singapore trip around because he actually had some problems getting through the border here. But Yassine, go ahead.
Well, usually I have no issues, and I didn't experience any issues because of my background, origins, skin complexion, or like name. When I went to the U.S. for the first time, I had no issues at all. I crossed the borders like anyone else. In Europe, I didn't experience anything else. And basically, when I was traveling so far, I didn't experience any like bad experience or like bad things with the customs or with the people actually living in the country I was visiting. But very recently, when I came to Singapore 2 days ago, I crossed the border and I didn't fly to Singapore from Malaysia, but I took the bus ride. So it took about 4 hours to go to Singapore from Melaka, which is a historical city of Malaysia. And basically, I got caught by the customs for like an hour, asking about my background and the reasons for my visits in Singapore, just because my name sounds Muslim. So that was pretty surprising for a country like Singapore, because Singapore is like literally between Malaysia and Indonesia, the two countries that have like the most Muslim population in the world. So I should get used to let's say to that kind of people and that kind of religion. So I was pretty surprised, but again, the custom in Singapore were very friendly, very nice, and I guess they just like did their job.
He's saying that last part because he wants to be allowed to leave Singapore tomorrow.
not really. But when I think about that experience, I was frustrated. I was kind of annoyed because I missed my bus from Singapore from the border in Singapore to Singapore City. So that's what was annoying, and just the fact that I was caught just because my name sounded Muslim. But to be honest, the custom didn't treat me like a slave or didn't treat me like a terrorist or anything like that. They were still polite and very professional, and they did the checks they had to do. So they were pretty fine. It's just like the fact of being stopped at the customs just because your name is Muslim. And yeah, that's the only, I would put it that way, the only bad experience I had since I started to travel. Yeah, and again, not even in the US, not even when I was in Mexico, not even when I was in Mexico and coming back to the US to go back to Europe or like Middle East. I never had any issues in the Middle East, obviously. And they were actually pretty surprised to see a French national talking Arabic. They were very curious about my background, and because the customs in the Middle East so far with me, they were very friendly, and they were very curious about like where I was coming from, and if I was talking Arabic, and what I was doing in the country, and they tried to make like a connection with me and stuff, and something that I really appreciated. But other than that, my bad experience in Singapore, nothing very, very, like, I'm trying to think about, no, really, exactly nothing happened to me because of my background, religion, name, or passport color.
Yassine, you've told us about yourself. You are here with me in Singapore, Dan back in the New York studio. Why don't you So you've been to how? Do you know how many countries you've been to?
Not really, actually. I would say about over 40 countries.
40.
I would say.
Wow. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's very, very impressive, Dan. I've been to 14 as of now. I don't think you've been to too much more than 20, so I think you've me and you combined, and still
But it's very different for you guys, because from being from the U.S., the U.S. is such.
Don't worry, Yassine, we're coming for you.
We are. Yes, I know.
But the U.S. is such like a big country, so you guys travel first. Like, I don't know, if you're from New York, you go to Miami, you go to the West Coast, you go to California, you go to Texas and stuff. By the way, I like Texas, the county. Very interesting. Never been there, but always wanted to go there, so we'll see in the future. But I was in France, and I was born on the German border, so I was going to Germany like every day, and Belgium is just next to me. I have relatives in the UK, so it's very quick and very cheap to get a flight over to London. I went to Spain while I was on my way to Morocco, and that's why like it's actually very easy to travel when you're in Europe and cheaper than when you are in the US. The 40 countries are not very impressive when you take that into consideration.
You're not afraid to take any sort of transportation. You'll take a variety of transportation, whether that be flight, train, boat.
Oh, I don't care. I really don't care. I would say it really depends on where you go and when you go and with who you go and who you go with. Sorry. When we met up in Ireland, I took the train. I chose to take the train all over to Dublin from London, which took like about, I don't know, 6-7 hours for like the whole journey. And I voluntarily took the train just to see like what's in between, to see the countryside of the UK and just to experience the ferry between Holyhead in the UK and Dublin. Because it's very easy to take a flight and you know, you check in and 45 minutes you're in Dublin. But it's more interesting and more exciting to take, like, let's say, a local transportation. Train, car, bus, those transportations are great. On my way to Singapore from Kuala Lumpur, I took a bus and stopped in Melaka. I wasn't meant to stop in Melaka, but the bus was going through the city and just decided to stop there and just to visit. And that allowed me basically to see everything between those cities. Now, it's very easy to take a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Singapore, which would have taken, 40 minutes, 45 minutes? That would have been too easy. The real purpose of traveling, really, for me, is discovering. And there's no point in traveling for flying from one point to another and just discovering cities and not knowing what's surrounding those cities and putting yourself in the context of the country, seeing the people, how they travel and travel with them, because obviously your purchasing power in Southeast Asia is greater than the one of local peoples, so. It's very easy just to take a flight and you know, not seeing anything from the local life, basically, and how they travel and how they go from one city to another.
Let me ask you this question.
But try once in your life to take a boat between New York and London, but I would still like to take a plane from like the US to Europe, by the way. just in case you guys like take me like in the wrong point.
Okay. Nice. So of all your travels, what was the biggest surprise? What was the biggest positive surprise that you came across in way of discovering something that you thought you in the region you weren't the most impressed? What's the most impressive surprise?
Let me think about it. Well, the first surprise I got just for traveling was how cheap it can be to travel very far away. That's the first surprise I got. When you go to India, Nepal, Southeast Asia, it doesn't cost anything. Besides the transportation, besides the flight, today you can get very good flights with a very good discount. But the local life, like when you go to Malaysia, when you go to India and stuff, like it's very cheap, so you can definitely make it. But in terms of discovery, let me think.
Dan does this to me all the time. Puts me right on the spot, and you know.
That's actually a very tough question. I would say the big surprise was also, you know, when you know a country without visiting it, you already have by watching TV, by listening to people, you already have an image of that country. And I'm always surprised that when I go by myself and visit that country, it's totally different from what another one would think. Everybody discouraged me to go to India because it was a big country, dangerous country, very messy. Everybody was like, no, don't go there. Try more to stay like maybe in the Middle East, stay in Dubai, or go like to Thailand. It's very touristy, it's very safe. Let's say with experience, I didn't have any personal opinion on the country because I've never been there, but I knew the country had like a great culture and a great history. And when I was there, I was just like surprised by how the country was moving forward, and it was basically beyond what I thought in terms of dynamism, in terms of culture. In terms of history, so usually, you know, when people say something and you expect to experience the same thing as what people like had in their travel, and you are surprised like to have a different experience, but much better experience than what they had.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly, but let me know.
No.
I can.
Dan, right back at you. Your most surprising travel experience.
My most surprising travel experience. I'm looking at the map right now in the studio, which is you're in Studio C, Singapore. I'm in Studio D, the War Room. I'm close to our Hudson studio, but not quite there.
Alhamdulillah to that.
Our studio in Singapore is facing Marina Bay Sands at the moment, so I would advise everyone to Google it, and so they can have a sense of where we are.
And just to rub it in a little bit further, we are it's about 28 degrees Celsius here right now. We are right on the river. The river is within 5 meters of us. We're just out, just living a nice summer night. I'll stop there. Dan, back to you.
I would probably say Uruguay was my most pleasant surprise. I didn't really think that there was civilization below Brazil, really, before I got there. I didn't think that there would be really modern structures below North America, but when I arrived in Uruguay, I was very impressed by how well advanced they are. The culture of the country is so similar to that of Europe in terms of cafes and people and public life, and I was very impressed with that country and how friendly they are down there. So I could go into it further, but that's what I would say my most pleasant surprise of a place, Uruguay.
Actually, had the same feeling when I was in New Delhi. I was expecting the city to be very messy and to see cows everywhere, blocking the traffic, and basically to see like basically New York without any red lights or any basically civilization. let's put it that way. So when I was there, I was very impressed by how the city developed throughout the years. And like, you have highways everywhere. You have no cows in New Delhi. You have some, but in the surrounding areas, away from the center, and the wealth of people, just like, you know, you have like some very rich people, and you have like the rise of a very strong middle class. So economic wise, I was very impressed by New Delhi, and they basically, how can I say that? I was like, you know, being from like a developed country, as we like to call ourselves, I was very impressed, like, how India was, like, you know, moving forward and trying to how can I say that? Yeah, like, I'm losing my words at the moment, but basically I was very impressed by the progress they were doing.
Lots of progress. It's a very nice, Dan?
Yeah, one more question for me, and then Jim, you can have your freedom to ask, it seems. Now, seeing, what was your first impression, and what was your what were your impressions thereafter upon meeting Jimmy the first time?
I love this. We are within, you know, 1 foot of each other. But Yasin, answer freely and be 100% honest.
No. I had no bad or mixed feelings at all. I never judge anyone from the beginning or like at the end. I'm very open-minded, so I was ready to meet anyone, to be honest.
I think that's a censored answer, but we'll go with it.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm very serious here. I'm very happy to meet new people, and I'm very happy to learn from them too. So I had like no opinion at all, and I was like, well, another guy, why not? but we are more to have more fun.
Hold on. He had about 5 Guinnesses within the first hour that you met him. Did it have an impression?
Well, the thing is, I lived in Ireland before, so I saw people having breakfast with a Guinness, and having lunch with a Guinness, and having dinner with a Guinness. So,
ever seen someone order Guinness in bed, to have breakfast in bed? Because that's what Jimmy did in London.
Did I do that? I wasn't with you guys to see that, but you know, again, I'm very open-minded. I don't drink personally. You guys would find that weird, but I respect very much the people who drink a lot and get wasted and look like
I'm signaling him to no, stop.
I would say wake up with a big headache in the next, you know, next morning.
Jim, I don't know if he's he's purely honest and everything, but I'm pretty sure he had some liquor a couple times in those Fanta drinks.
I think he may have had actually a bad night of drinking with the Fanta, because he no longer drinks Fanta. I had Fanta ready for him when he got here, and he went to Coca-Cola.
And I'm thinking about switching to soya milk and lassi now.
You guys won't know anything about that. see me when I get back, and we'll discuss. But, actually, Dan, I'm surprised you haven't asked Yasin this, and these are maybe the most two important questions as of right now. So I'll ask them. First, Yasin, how are you enjoying Singapore?
It's great. Singapore is a good city. I don't know if I have to be honest here or not, but no, Singapore is very bustling, very dynamic. Everybody's on the go. Everybody's super nice, super friendly. Everything's super clean, but sometimes you have the impression that the city is kind of fake. Not as fake as Dubai. I would say Dubai is faker than than Singapore. But the city is definitely very clean and very neat, which somehow makes it not very natural. Because we are used, well, living in New York, living in London, we are used to the mess. We are used to see people arguing. We are used to see people going on strike, demonstrating, showing their anger, and not, you know, seeing mess, basically. You don't have that in Singapore. In Singapore, everything is calculated. Everything is... the people here are taught to behave nicely and to behave in order. And somehow, you know, it's very impressive when you first go there, you know, the first day, but somehow you get used to it and you follow the mass. You try to behave like them and you somehow change your mind and just, you know, get into it and start to live like the people here. But yeah, like in London, it would have never bothered me to, I don't know, to throw away your paper outside, or which is very, very bad, by the way. But here you have like that constant thought to stay clean and to stay basically polite and in order, like an army guy.
Very, very true. Very true. Even myself, who is no conformist of the sort, but it's very, very true statement. Here in Singapore, you know, it's everyone's very polite, very respectful, and why shouldn't any of us be that way? So
definitely.
I adapted it as soon as I got here, and you know, it's a great thing. My second question to you, and this, Dan, I figured this would be maybe the first question. You're about 35 minutes late on this one, but I'll ask it for you. Yasin, how is Jimmy, myself, treating you here in Singapore?
No, a very good guy. A very good guy. I would say he there's an expression in French, but I can't find it in English.
Well, while he thinks of the expression, I have to say this. When my current girlfriend, she came to the U.S. and visited, and, you know, God bless her, she is here with us tonight. You know, it's 1 a.m. here now. We are broadcasting actually a few days before the actual show goes live, and the same time as normal, so it's 11 a.m. Your time, Dan. It is 12:54 12:40 our time, and, you know, she... God bless her, is with us. I just want to give a quick shout out to Ava. Thank you for, you know, being here with me. And she just woke up. She's smiling and waving. But she may be on the next show as well. And we'll get into that a little bit in maybe about 15 more minutes or so. But, have you come up with the saying you wanted to say yet, Yasin?
No, I couldn't find the expression.
There was no expression he could come up with.
But he's been a good guy. And yeah, he's done his job.
And I have to say, actually, what I brought up Ava, the same reason is Ava, when she came to New York, I actually saw more of New York City than I've ever seen in my life. And the same thing when Yasin came here, I did more walking than I've done even in the 5K race that I was a part of. Here in Singapore, and I actually got to go to Little India, which I've never been to. I've been through, but not actually to really experience. I did get to experience that yesterday with Yasin. So, you know, thank you for coming. And you know, seriously,
nice. Oh, and by the way, guys, very good advice I would give is don't try to travel easy and try to take a cab or the metro or anything like that. Try to walk and try to visit the city. If you want to get to one point to another, still walk, use your feet, and see what's in between. Maybe you might come up with like something very good. I don't know, meeting someone or just like seeing a specific place that you like, a cafe, a store. I don't know, anything, and that's where the surprises come up.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. You know, you just got to go with it. And this is a very hard thing for me because I'm more of a planned kind of guy. I want to know A, B, C, and D, and I want to make sure that I've early in my travels, I've had some things happen to me where they were very unfortunate, and I've been stuck in a bad place. So those times it was kind of unplanned. It was just go with it. But after that, I wanted everything to be planned out to the minutes. And I wanted to know every place I was going, why, when, you know, within a 5-minute range. And then since I really started traveling, and as most of you know, I moved here to Singapore with no planning whatsoever. But, you know, living this way, I may have had some failures in the beginning, but, you know, if first you don't succeed, try again. And here I am, still here, going on 7 months, and here with my good friend, Yassine, and broadcasting here in Singapore while also talking to my good friend Dan in New York. Dan, I mean, hey, if it wasn't for travel, where would we be, you know?
You wouldn't be there, and I somehow find myself here in New York. Now, I'd like to ask Yassine another question, which is, Yassine, if you could choose three places where you get to build your own house and have homes there, where would they be, and what type of architecture, what type of houses would you construct there?
Now, hold on. I have to interrupt really quickly. So you're asking him to build houses, but we're talking to Al Madina. This guy does not build houses. He builds cities.
That's a good way to say it.
Where would you conquer? Where would you take over? Let's minimize the gym so everyone can be, we're trying to get to Yassine's level, but we're not there yet, so we can't quite big league him yet.
So,
Yassine, you get three houses. Where would you put them? You can buy them or you can construct them. Name the three places that you would like.
So, I would say first place will be in Tangier, Morocco, facing Spain, right on the Strait of Gibraltar. I think it's a pretty strategic place, and you have amazing sunsets, amazing view, and yeah, that should be the first one.
Hold on. Before you get to the second one, Yassine, this is not an interview. We don't need, continue.
No, but that's actually where I would like to have a permanent residency and be able just to go to my place, basically. Second one would be New York, actually. But that's another style, another property. I don't have the money for it yet, but actually, not in Manhattan, but in Astoria, Queens, overlooking Manhattan, and basically going to my balcony and seeing the skyline of Manhattan. That would be a dream for me. Last one would be, let me think about it. Where would that be?
I have to say, I mean, Astoria, Queens. Now, you would be a Yankee fan if you were there, though, not a Mets, correct?
Well,
you want to conquer. You don't want to just, you know.
I know that kind of discussion is really sensitive in the U.S., so I wouldn't talk about it too much.
He will decline to answer.
Again, I'm very open-minded, and I like everybody, so. Third one would be, Where about? Actually, I've never been there, but it would be Japan. Not in Tokyo, not in any cities, but in the countryside. You know, when you have how do you say that? In the middle of the mountain, and you have those hot springs.
Oh, the hot springs.
Yeah, where you have the hot springs and that very warm, like natural hot tub.
Yeah, hot spring. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I would I would love to have like a Japanese house, typically Japanese, not modern at all, but very poetic. You know, like those old style Japanese houses and stuff, and with its own hot spring overlooking Mofuji. That would be
a beautiful view.
That would be a beautiful view and beautiful lifestyle too.
That would be awesome. I think maybe next year, you know, Yasin and I have now made it a kind of a tradition that every year.
Oh, by the way, Japan is my next stop, I think.
You know what? I'm going to second that. Well, you know, when Yasin goes, I'm going. Dan, we got two of us.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do and do a little better than that. All right, we'll see you in Japan at some point in the future. Next stop.
Sounds good.
All right, so listen, Dan. We have about 7 more minutes with Yasin, and then we will be wrapping up. So we have 7 minutes left. Anything more, Yasin? Actually, do you have anything more you'd like to say? Just so you know, we are broadcasting live. We are up to 3 million viewers at this point. Are we at 3.5 yet, Dan? Do you know?
We're creeping up there, Tim, but. You know, it's hovering somewhere right between those two numbers. We'll see. I mean, I think after this broadcast, we'll probably triple our audience.
I would imagine after this broadcast, a certain station, maybe XM, I didn't say it, would be coming after us. But anyways, let's not get into that. We're going to stick with our roots.
Yeah, and now it's kind of freaky now with 3 million people listening to you guys. I kind of feel a bit, you know, stressed and stuff. I thought nobody was listening to you guys. It was like just like a kid game, you know what I mean? to waste your time.
Yasin, really, right now we're just talking to the makeshift WGXC Singapore boat key station, which is really just a computer, a microphone, and a phone. And that's currently what it is. But what he doesn't realize is this will be broadcast for the millions and millions.
And you guys should actually create a Facebook profile, Facebook page and stuff.
I have to be honest, Yasin. We actually do have a Facebook page. It has it was started by someone who we will not mention, who has not been on the air for a long time. Alicia, if you're listening, well, you're probably not listening, so we can talk really bad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, we are planning on getting our webpage back, the Facebook, but until then, we have some big, big things coming up, and it will start with our next show. But before we get into that in 5 minutes, I want to, you know, it's all about you, Yasin. You are here. You are our – you have been our biggest character of our show. I don't think Dan could argue with that. And, you know, most people don't even know you're a real person, but you are actually now here in on the air.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
So anything, come on, travel-wise, you were saying that, you know, go out there, do it, live the life, you know, don't worry about it. Don't live in the bottom of the well. Don't see just a little circle. Get out of the well. See the whole picture. What other advice would you give our listeners who are hesitant to travel? Some of them have been traveling for decades. I think they know everything. Do you have anything you could give to them, any piece of advice or anything that would be relevant?
I would say stay safe always. Try to get adventurous, but try also to use your self-judgment. When you feel something is not good, right, when basically you're not feeling comfortable, don't hesitate to ask for help, or I don't know, to be safe, basically. That's very important. When I say try to discover the world and stuff, don't kill yourself. Don't try to be over open-minded and, you know, try to be open to everything and meeting new people and strangers. Because don't get me wrong, you can have bad experience in meeting the wrong people. That can happen to everyone. But the thing is, try to behave accordingly. Don't shut your doors. Still keep being open-minded, but use your self-judgment. That's the main advice I would give. No one can be an expert in traveling, even after like 40 years or whatever. It's not a job. It's a passion. So you have basically to adapt your behavior to each situation. So and again, like when I tell you, don't use the taxi or you know the tube or anything, because somehow it's safer to use that kind of transport. You can use them anywhere if you're in trouble. So if you're lost, if you don't know where you are, it's very late at night, it's very easy to get a cab, so just take it. But always stay safe. But always go somewhere with no stated ideas or no like vague image of what you have of the country because you've seen something on TV or because I don't know you base your opinion on the country just because I don't know someone talked about it in a bad way. So don't let anyone to drive your opinion on something. Just go somewhere, anywhere, with no stated ideas on it. Keep being open-minded and take the country, take the culture. And I wouldn't say take the people because that would have another meaning, but keep being open-minded. When I was in India, everybody says, India, you like it or you hate it. But when you like it, India knows how to like you back. So just have a blast.
I think he's saying the true words of a true traveler, and one that I have to say I kind of aspire to be. You know, I've really stepped up my travels in the last 2 years, but I'm not done, and I'm not there where I need to be traveling wise just yet.
Got it. That sounds good.
So go ahead, Dan.
How much time do we have?
We're going to wrap up. Yassine has to be heading out shortly, and we are actually, our show is 5 minutes away from basically its end. So, first, any last words from you, Dan, to Yassine?
I would have loved to hear Yassine flesh out a bit about Morocco, but perhaps,
another show.
Down the line or-
Another show.
We will.
Well, the thing is, I would advise it. I like to do the promotion of the country, but very quickly, it's a very good country. Yes, it's Muslim, but it has a Jewish history. It has an African history, Spanish, Portuguese, French. It was the first country who recognized the US when they got their independence. Something that not everybody knows about that, and it's a bit like California. You have everything. You can go to the forest, you can go to the mountain, you can go to the desert, you have the sea, you have the ocean. You have everything, and great culture. So yeah, just honestly, if I would say it's a very good start for a traveling career. It's very exotic, very very strong in terms of history and culture. So, and still a safe country. So, although it's in North Africa, with the Middle East and stuff, it's still very safe. And try to go to Spain at the same time, so you can see the complete history of Morocco. Because you cannot go to Morocco without going to Spain and understanding everything. South of Spain is very linked to Morocco in terms of culture and history, so I would advise you guys to do that.
Yeah, I have to agree, and I did go to Morocco with the Yassine and also Spain, and Morocco is just a really great place, and we had a blast there, and I will go back again. I will say that right now, God willing, and if you guys get the chance, definitely go to Morocco. Yeah, I think you summed up the most of it, but it's so good. I mean, you have like Casablanca, which is basically like a big city. Then we went to Marrakesh, which is basically like a tourist zone, and My favorite part was the train ride. You guys have heard, anyone who's listened to the show before has heard about that, so I'm not going to say it right now. But Dan, anything else you've seen? I've said everything. Do you have anything else, Dan?
No, that's all that I would like to know.
Okay.
Doing enough. I think the same. You, me, Jimmy, will all be together one spot on the globe or another, but hopefully that day will come much sooner than later.
Hopefully.
I hope so, too. Hopefully in Japan. I have no more questions for you, Yacine. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Yacine has a flight. Actually, he's leaving here in 6 hours. He has to be in the airport shortly. He has to be out of here 7:30 a.m. It's 1 a.m. here now. Yacine, any closing words for our viewers? Thank you so much for being on.
No, thank you. I think I talked a lot, and I was kind of saying wise words and stuff. But again, live your life. Enjoy it 100%. And for me, in my opinion, you can't really enjoy it if you stay stuck in your own world. Basically, try to get to know people. Try to basically discover where you live, and don't just live in the US. Just live in New York or whatever you live in on Earth. So, and I think you have to discover everything to basically know where you are. So. Don't hesitate to have any questions. If you can ask any questions, or if you can contact Jimmy or Dan or whatever, I'm sure they will get that Facebook page open very soon. So I put them in pressure on that. And yeah, my pleasure to talk on air, and anytime.
Yacine, thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll have you on again, no doubt about it. And really appreciate it. Not only thank you for coming on the show, but more importantly, thank you for coming here. Yacine is the first person out of all of my friends to actually come visit me here in Singapore. So thank you very much. It means a lot to me.
Thank you.
Dan, you're next. But before Dan comes to visit me, Dan, as I started this show off, I made a promise that our next two shows would be the best ever. And so this one clearly has lived up to the hype with a little less than 2 minutes left. This show has lived up to the hype. Next show will live up to the hype. Do you want to tell the audience why?
Okay, so our next show, which we're going to be taking over a fifth Sunday, which usually is sometimes up in the air, but I think we're going to take over the studio that day. And none other than Jimmy Jiminovich is going to be returning live to the Hudson studio and Hudson and New York itself. All the way from Singapore, he's coming home for Christmas. Audience, this is it. Put it on your calendar. Be ready. Jimmy's coming back. It's going to be nothing like we have ever seen before. Return of the king, return of the native, return of destruction. It's going to be here very shortly. So, you thought you were having a good December. Things are going to go downhill real quick.
Dan, yes, you have said it. God willing, I will be in the studio with you in 2 weeks from this episode. And I have made a promise that I made 2 weeks ago that we will, the best show that has ever happened. And this one's going to be hard to top, Dan. So I'm going to have to start writing something right now to figure this out and figure out how to do it. But I've made a promise, and I stick to my promises.
Hey, every time. And, Jim, I'm extremely looking forward to it. Many people, many of our loyal listeners, they're looking forward to it. And, it's going to be pure, effervescent, just stimulating, explosive energy. And, who knows, the roof might come off.
It very well may. Guys, thank you. Dan, do you have any last words for the audience?
I'm all set, Jim. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. We're going to see you and talk with you very soon.
That's right. Yes, and further that, I forgot that it's actually going to be Christmas before we are on there again. But all our loyal viewers and all our viewers in general, thank you guys for listening. And have a very happy holiday. And if you can handle it, tune in next episode in 2 weeks for what will be the best episode ever. So thank you guys for listening. Yep. We have Effie coming up next, and you were listening to Now Boarding with Dan and Jim, 90.7 WGXC FM, 90.7 ACRA. Thank you guys. Enjoy your Sunday.